Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, March 22nd, 2019. Coming up this hour,
Theresa May gets another 2 weeks to avoid a no-deal Brexit.
We are now at the moment of decision.
President Trump considers a dove and longtime supporter for a seat on the Fed.
The Fed should be lowering rates, not raising them.
And Uber gets one step closer to its IPO.
President Trump interjects himself into Israeli politics, plus a damper on ties between North and South Korea. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashnow in sports. Among the 16 NCAA tournament games, losses for Seton Hall, Syracuse, and FDU. Islanders and Devils both lost.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
And U.S. futures and European shares are falling this morning. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, S&P futures down 12 points this morning. Dow futures down 129 and NASDAQ futures down 29. The DAX in Germany is down 0.6%. The CAC in Paris is down almost 0.8%. And the FTSE 100 is down 0.7%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.1%. So did the Hang Seng in Hong Kong. 10-year Treasury up 9/32, yield 2.50%. Yield on the 2-year 2.38%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.7% or 39 cents to $59.60 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.3% or $4 to $13.1750 an ounce. The euro, $1.1309, and the yen, 110.59. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with EU leaders giving Theresa May another 2 weeks to avoid a no-deal Brexit.
I hope we can all agree we are now at the moment of decision. And I will make every effort to ensure that we are able to leave with a deal and move our country forward.
EU leaders and President Donald Tusk are giving the UK until April 12th to decide whether to leave without an agreement or request a much longer extension.
The cliff edge date will be delayed. The UK government will still have a choice of a deal, a long extension, or revoking Article 50.
The decision removes the immediate possibility of a no-deal Brexit in just 7 days' time.
But will the Prime Minister be able to get her deal through Parliament before the deadline? Bloomberg's Ewan Potts joins us live from London with the latest. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Back my deal or risk being trapped in the European Union for longer. That's the powerful threat that Theresa May will now make. Pro-Brexit hardliners in her Conservative Party fear that a long extension could risk Brexit altogether. The UK Premier is expected to bring her EU deal back to the House of Commons next week for a third time. She'll be hoping that fear of not leaving will be enough to see the deal finally approved by lawmakers. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ewan, thank you. And we have disappointing PMI data out of Europe crossing the Bloomberg right now. Euro area manufacturing PMI for March fell to 47.7. Estimates had called for a reading of 49.5. In Germany, manufacturing shrank for a third month. And in France, the economy slipped back into contraction. The euro is weakening sharply on the data, currently trading at $1.1312.
In Asia today, concerns over trade weighed on markets as sources tell Bloomberg U.S. officials are downplaying the prospect of a trade deal with China anytime soon. Bloomberg's Yvonne Mann joins us from Hong Kong with details. Good morning, Yvonne.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. A mixed session for Asian stocks, a dovish Fed meeting drowned out by the trade headlines and earnings season that kicked off. The CSI 300 large caps in China ended the day flat, with the Shanghai Composite now stuck in a tight range above 3,100. And a busy day in Hong Kong, with the big caps like Tencent, China Mobile, Geely, PetroChina all out with results in the last 24 hours. In Hong Kong, I'm Yvonne Mann, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Yvonne, thank you. And those earnings out of Hong Kong were a mixed bag. Tencent, China Mobile, and PetroChina disappointed, while Geely topped estimates.
Back here in the U.S., Bloomberg News has learned President Trump is considering Stephen Moore for a seat on the Federal Reserve. Moore is a visiting fellow at the Heritage Foundation and a longtime supporter of the president. He spoke with Bloomberg last month.
I think the Fed is way, way too tight right now. I think that we don't have enough dollar liquidity in the market. Everyone agrees that the Fed made a catastrophically bad decision in December. Even the Fed admits that. The Fed should be lowering rates, not raising them. The Fed is still strangling the economy with not getting that dollar liquidity out there. So it's not enough that they've said that they're not going to raise rates. They have to actually start buying bonds rather than selling them off of their balance sheet now.
Moore served as an advisor to the Trump campaign and helped write its economic agenda.
And meanwhile, sources tell us Herman Cain is also under consideration for a seat on the Fed. Cain is the former CEO of Godfather's Pizza, and he ran for the 2012 Republican presidential nomination. There are currently two vacant seats on the Fed board.
Boeing 737 MAX jets remain grounded, and one economist says the impact could start showing up in major U.S. economic indicators. Here with the story, Bloomberg's Charlie Pillett.
Those indicators range from international trade to durable goods, and that's according to J.P. Morgan Chase chief U.S. economist Michael Feroli. He says for now, the issues affecting the aircraft probably will not have a short-run impact on gross domestic product because production continues, but they will affect the composition of GDP with more inventory growth and less of a boost for business investment and gross exports. Feroli warns things can change if the jetliner's production is halted for a time. He says that would shave about 0.15% off of the level of GDP. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Charlie. Uber has selected the New York Stock Exchange for its initial public offering. That's according to sources who say Uber is likely to file its IPO next month with a valuation as high as $120 billion. Bloomberg's Eric Newcomer has details.
The question is, you know, will it reach this $120 billion that bankers floated when they were courting Uber? You've seen analyses that put it at 90. You know, anything sort of is really possible right now, and a lot of it hinges on what happens with the Lyft offering, which is going to come first.
No matter the exact valuation, Uber's IPO is likely to be the biggest of the year. Futures pointed lower, S&P futures down 10 points now, Dow futures down 115, NASDAQ futures down 23. This is Bloomberg. And it's 5:07 on Wall Street. Time for the latest world and national news on this Friday morning. Good morning, Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Good morning, Nathan. Officials in Seoul say North Korea abruptly withdrew its staff from an inter-Korean liaison office in the north today. The development will likely put a damper on ties between the Koreas and complicate global diplomacy on the north's nuclear weapons program. Last month, the second U.S.-North Korea summit in Vietnam collapsed due to disputes over U.S.-led sanctions on the north.
A long way, come on, long.
People across New Zealand are observing the Muslim call to prayer as the nation reflects on the moment 1 week ago when 50 people were slaughtered at two mosques. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern and thousands of others congregated in a park opposite the Al Noor Mosque in Christchurch to observe the call to prayer today. The mosque's imam, Gamal Fuda, thanked his countrymen for their support.
We are here in our hundreds and thousands unified for one purpose, that hate will be undone and love will redeem us.
Meanwhile, mass burials were held for 26 people killed in the attack today. The House Oversight Committee is said to be looking into Jared Kushner's alleged use of private email and the messaging program WhatsApp to conduct official government business. Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation report is approaching. According to several reports, no new indictments are expected from the special counsel's office, but the report won't be released publicly. It will be up to Attorney General William Barr to decide what to release. President Trump says it's time to recognize Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights that Israel seized from Syria in 1967. It marks a dramatic shift in U.S. policy and gives a boost to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in the middle of his re-election campaign.
This evening, I just want to say one word, two actually. Thank you. Thank you, Mike Pompeo. Thank you, President Trump. And thank you, America.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. It is 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, a long day and night of college basketball in the NCAA tournament. We'll be back for more today. Late games last night saw Seton Hall go down in Jacksonville. Wofford with a late 17-0 run to win an NCAA game for the first time. 84-68, so the season over for the Pirates. Coach Kevin Willard.
That's a heck of a basketball team we play. And when you have a senior-laden team like they do, who's extremely well-coached, you're going to have to play really good to beat them. And we just turned the ball over in the first half. That really kind of put us behind the eight ball and gave them too many opportunities. But these guys have left it on the floor all year long. I love the way they've battled. Couldn't be more proud of the season we've had.
Syracuse late last night ousted by Baylor, 78-69. Easy wins for Michigan and Purdue. The Big Ten had a good day with earlier wins by Michigan State, Minnesota, and Maryland. Best finish in Salt Lake City, New Mexico State. In the last 2 seconds, passed up an open layup that would have tied the game. Missed two free throws, then a wide open shot, lost by one to Auburn. So a 12 seed almost won, and later a 12 seed did win easily. Murray State over Marquette, led by Ja Morant. He had a triple-double, looks ready for the NBA. He'll be a high draft pick. Islanders slumped it at the wrong time. Shut out by Montreal 4-0. They've lost the last two by a combined 9-0. Devils beaten by Boston 5-1. Cardinals over the Yankees 11-3. Domingo Germán served up 3 home runs. Brandon Nimmo hit 2. Steven Matzrold 5 scoreless innings. The Mets over the Cardinals 6-0. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
John, thank you. Tune in this weekend for the Bloomberg Business of Sports show when we speak with the man behind the newly named ballpark for the San Francisco Giants. He is Oracle CEO Mark Hurd. You can catch that conversation tonight at 8 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio, or you can download the Bloomberg Business of Sports show as an Apple podcast on iTunes. Markets turning into the red here with S&P futures down 11 points, Dow futures down 126, NASDAQ futures down 25 points, Stock 600 down 0.4% on disappointing PMI data out of Europe. Stay with us. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's coming up to 5:12 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Renaissance Capital, issuer of IPO ETFs and pre-IPO research, putting newly public companies to work in investor portfolios. To learn more, visit renaissancecapital.com. European stocks and U.S. stock index futures moving lower this morning. The euro slumping after miserable data from the German manufacturing sector fueled worries about global growth. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down about 13 points. Dow futures down 137 and NASDAQ futures down 30. The DAX in Germany is down 0.7%. 10-year Treasury up 11 32nds, yield 2.49%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.37%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.7% or 40 cents to $59.57 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.3%, up $4.40 to $13.18.20 an ounce. The euro, $1.1297, and the yen, 110.53. Today we're watching for a report on wholesale inventories out at 10 o'clock Wall Street time, along with existing home sales. Tiffany is among companies scheduled to report earnings today. And we're watching shares of Nike down 4.4% in early trading after North American sales missed analyst estimates. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. New Zealanders observed the Muslim call to prayer today, reflecting on the moment when 50 worshippers at two Christchurch mosques were killed. Later in the day, a mass funeral was held to bury 26 of the victims. South Korea says North Korea abruptly withdrew its staff from an inter-Korean liaison office in the north today. President Trump declared the U.S. will recognize Israel's sovereignty over the disputed Golan Heights, which is a major shift in American policy. In sports, Thursday's round of 64, the men's NCAA basketball tournament, saw Seton Hall losing to Wofford 84-68. Last year's winner, Villanova, advanced. Today, the number one overall ranked team, Duke, faces North Dakota. In the NBA, the Warriors won, the Wizards lost. On the ice, the Devils lost to the Bruins 5-1, the Islanders lost. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is now 5:20 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Our guest on this Friday morning, Jane Foley, Senior Currency Analyst at Rabobank. Good to have you on, Jane, just as we get the latest PMI data out of the Eurozone, and to say it disappointed might be an understatement. We're watching the Euro drop precipitously on the German manufacturing PMI. What's your reaction to this?
Well, once again, I think you're quite right. Not only is the euro dropping, but of course linked into that is the fact that the German 10-year yield has just fallen to zero. That's the lowest for 2 or 3 years. So certainly the market has been shocked by this. And of course, if we go back to the third quarter of last year, then we had German GDP posting a negative number Q on Q. After that, there were lots of economists that said this is something that is going to rebound, that it's one-off factors. But of course, it hasn't. And now the market is really thinking, well, look at this PMI. Why is it so weak? And the manufacturing number might be weak because of weakness of exports to Asia. We're talking about a link in here with German growth and Chinese growth. And of course, you've got to remember that Germany is an extremely open economy. Exports are a huge proportion of its GDP. And that compares very drastically with the US, which is a much more closed economy, much less reliant on international trade than Germany.
So does the European Central Bank have any more tools in its toolbox at this point to try to give the Eurozone a bit more of a lift here? I know it was waiting to see whether the contraction in the third quarter was a one-off.
Well, you know, I think the market is now coming to terms with the fact that this slowdown could be a little bit more structural than at first thought. Certainly, if we look back a few weeks ago and look to what Draghi, the ECB president, said, he didn't beat about the bush. You know, he then said that they were talking about additional liquidity measures. The market hadn't expected that announcement in March. It was going to think, it was going to really debate whether or not the ECB was going to come with that announcement, perhaps in April. So the ECB came forward. It said, look, we are concerned about growth. It painted a far more dovish picture on ECB policy than the market had anticipated. And again, the sort of numbers that we're seeing now in the PMI really do justify that position for the ECB. So what we want to know now is, you know, how soon will that ECB act, and how necessary really is additional liquidity. And that's why, of course, the euro is falling. That is why bond yields in Germany are dropping too.
And when you talk about the openness of the German economy, does the threat of further tariffs from the U.S. weigh on things as well?
Yes, it absolutely does. Now, of course, this has been something which has been, I think, clouding the horizon really for quite a few months. And there is a lot of nervousness that the U.S. really could push back on, particularly German manufacturing goods, German cars, very sensitive area. So already we've had the German car industry, or the European car industry, really tripping over this Dieselgate scandal and also new emissions standards in the German manufacturing industry too. So there's been a lot of headwinds to the car industry, but the idea that there could be additional tariffs placed on from the U.S. is certainly a big cause for concern.
And of course, there's the ongoing headwind of Brexit. Now that the European Union has given the U.K. a 2-week extension, I mean, does that change things for the European economy?
Well, not much. I mean, clearly, there is still a very tangible risk that the UK could be headed for a hard Brexit, so a no-deal Brexit. Now, I think there's a lot of focus on the ramifications and the negative ramifications that could have for the UK economy. But, of course, we've also got to remember that has potential negative ramifications for the German economy. And certainly the UK imports more from the other European economies and the other way around. So Germany, of course, is a big exporter of manufactured goods. UK is a very significant market. Again, we come to talk about cars as one of those major items, but other manufacturing goods too. So if there were a hard Brexit on April the 12th, well, it is going to be another factor which is going to create jitters about the growth outlook for the Eurozone.
Jane Foley, Senior Currency Analyst at Rabobank. Thanks again for the insights this morning, again, as we did get that disappointing PMI data out of the Eurozone. As you mentioned, the German 10-year yield is at 0%, the lowest since 2016. The euro right now down 0.7% against the dollar, trading at $1.1294. Equity market futures are pointed lower as well, with S&P futures down 13 points, Dow futures down 136. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking, technology-driven advisory and accounting firm helping clients be in a position of strength in today's modern business landscape. Visit Withum.com to learn more.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130
to Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991
to Boston.
Bloomberg 1061
to San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960
to the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119
and around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Poly. Plantronics and Polycom are now Poly, the global communications company that powers authentic human connection and collaboration. Poly, the power of many.
We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are lower following disappointing manufacturing data out of Europe. Euro area manufacturing PMI for March fell to 47.7. Estimates had called for a reading of 49.5.
Yeah, in Germany, manufacturing shrank for a third month, falling to the lowest level since 2012, and that had 10-year German bond yields drop below 0% for the first time in more than 2 years.
Meanwhile, the European Union has given Prime Minister Theresa May another 2 weeks to avoid a no-deal Brexit. We get the latest from Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo in Brussels.
EU 27 leaders and Prime Minister Theresa May agreed to delay a crunch no Brexit deal moment to April the 12th. That is when the UK should now let the EU know whether it intends to participate in the European elections. Now, in the eyes of the EU, if the UK is still a member state by then, it must run in the election. Until then, all options will remain open. In Brussels, Maria Tadeo, Bloomberg News.
Thank you, Maria. Deutsche Bank is pledging to reverse years of declining revenue while also cautioning that the market environment is weaker than it had anticipated. The German lender says revenue in 2019 should be slightly higher than last year, assuming solid economic growth.
Bloomberg News has learned Stephen Moore, a visiting fellow at the Heritage Foundation and a longtime supporter of Donald Trump, is being considered by the president for a seat on the Fed. He spoke with Bloomberg about Fed policy just last month.
The Fed should be lowering rates, not raising them. The Fed is still strangling the economy with not getting that dollar liquidity out there. So it's not enough that they've said that they're not going to raise rates. They have to actually start buying bonds rather than selling them off of their balance sheet now.
Moore served as an advisor to the Trump campaign and helped write its economic agenda.
Shares of Nike are down more than 4% in early trading. The world's largest sportswear company reported disappointing sales in North America.
And sources tell Bloomberg that Uber has selected the New York Stock Exchange for its IPO. The ride-hailing service is expected to publicly file for its offering in April. And futures this morning are moving lower. S&P futures down 14 points, Dow futures down 139, NASDAQ futures down 33, the 10-year Treasury up 11/32. The yield is at 2.49%, the yield on the 2-year 2.37%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. 5:33 now on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here to tell us more of what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Thousands of people gathered for a mass funeral to bury 26 of the victims of the mosque attacks in New Zealand. The funeral is taking place at a Muslim cemetery where more than a dozen already have been laid to rest. People earlier in the day attended Friday prayers in a Christchurch park across from the Al Noor Mosque. Gamal Fuda is the mosque's imam.
We have shown that New Zealand is unbreakable and that the world can see in us an example of love and unity.
Today's burials include the youngest victim, a 3-year-old. South Korea says North Korea has withdrawn its staff from an inter-Korean liaison office in North Korea. President Donald Trump has inserted himself into Israeli politics regarding the Golan Heights. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Mr. Trump has overturned long-standing U.S. policy declaring the U.S. fully recognizes Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says this comes at the same time as
Iran is trying to use Syria as a platform to attack and destroy Israel. And the message that President Trump has given the world is that America stands by Israel.
Also, Mr. Trump has made clear appeals to Jewish voters to abandon the Democrats, calling the party anti-Semitic. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
President Trump signed an executive order to protect free speech on college campuses. The order threatens to withhold federal funding for research to schools who do not comply.
People who are confident in their beliefs do not censor others. We don't want to censor others. They welcome free, fair, and open debate, and that's what we're demanding.
A Florida man pleaded guilty in New York to sending more than a dozen mail bombs to critics of President Trump. Cesar Sayoc pleaded guilty to 65 federal counts related to the spate of homemade bombs mailed last year to Hillary Clinton, Robert De Niro, and others. Sayoc faces up to life in prison when he's sentenced in September. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, survive in advance. The late Jim Valvano coined that back in 1983. Several teams did just that. First round of the NCAA tournament. Auburn did everything to give away its lead, but held on to top New Mexico State by one. Maryland by two over Belmont, who had a key turnover in the waning seconds. Michigan State trailed with 7 minutes to go before getting past 15th-seeded Bradley. LSU beat Yale by only five. Florida State over Vermont by only seven. Villanova, sneaking a third championship in 4 years, opened up, slipping past St. Mary's. There were some blowouts. Kentucky up 26 at the half, won by 35 over Abilene Christian. Gonzaga led by 36 at the half, won by 38 over Fairleigh Dickinson. Kansas had a 50-point second half, cruised over Northeastern by 33. The season over for Seton Hall. Pirates led with 7.5 minutes remaining, but Wofford with a late 17-0 run to win 84-68. Miles Powell, 27 points in defeat. Season over for Syracuse. First time they've lost in the first round since 06. Jim Boeheim's team beaten by Baylor, 78-69.
You know, I thought both teams shot the ball extremely well. They made a couple at the end, and, you know, we missed a couple at the end. But it was, you know, we couldn't stop their offense, and they really couldn't stop ours. And it ended up when they got a couple open threes at the end, and we got a couple, we missed ours, and they made them, and they deserved the win.
16 three-pointers. Islanders in Montreal lost 4-0. Devils at home fell 5-1 to Boston. Yankees beaten by the Cardinals 11-3. Mets over the Marlins 6-0. Bryce Harper, two home runs for the Phillies with the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. I'm John Stashow. Nathan?
John, thank you. It's 5:37 now on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. It's the equality issue, including a look at why inequality could be holding some economies back. Gina Smilek wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
What we see is that places with less equal access to opportunity also have worse income mobility. So less likely the chance that a kid who's born into the bottom part of the income distribution is going to climb higher or to the top of the income distribution, and just more stickiness across generations.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now and listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. 5:38 on Wall Street, time for the Tri-State Business Report. Good Friday morning, Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Hey, Nathan. New Jersey's recreational marijuana bill lacks enough support to become law, but Governor Phil Murphy says he and legislative leaders will continue working to persuade holdout lawmakers ahead of an expected vote on Monday. Murphy, who took in office January 2017, promised legalized adult-use pot early in his first year. Well, many of New York's tallest residential skyscrapers have mechanical voids. They can be several stories high and contain nothing but equipment and empty space. An amendment filed by the planning department would limit mechanical spaces to a height of only 25 feet. Critics see them as possibly dangerous for first responders. And WWE is getting a new home in Stamford, Connecticut. The wrestling empire is moving out of Titan Towers and into a new space downtown on Washington Boulevard. WTNH.com reports the new setup will become home to the WWE's operations, production studios, and corporate offices. At your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report, I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
All right, Ed, thank you. It's 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Podolsky, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we are looking at more evidence of the Netflix shift from tech firm to entertainment company.
I'm John Tucker for KFAB in Omaha. I'm reporting Mutual of Omaha Insurance is facing a conspiracy suit over a Ponzi scheme.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're following the latest in Brexit, including contingency plans at budget airline EasyJet.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting General Motors will announce a $300 million investment in its electric car plant in Michigan today.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Another story we're following, Disney has begun an expected round of job cuts at 21st Century Fox less than 2 days after completing its $71 billion transaction. Bloomberg has learned the firings focused on senior management in the Fox film division. The Los Angeles Times reports more than 3,000 people, mostly at Fox, will lose their jobs. Futures losing value, with S&P futures down 13 points right now. Dow futures down 127. NASDAQ futures down almost 29 points. Price of the 10-year up 13.32. The yield down to 2.49%. Two-year treasuries at 2.37%. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Marks Paneth LLP. Marks Paneth Tax Advisors have helped family businesses reach their financial goals for over 100 years. At Marks Paneth, success is personal. Learn more at markspaneth.com/tax.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. German 10-year bond yields dropping below 0% for the first time in over 2 years after the nation's manufacturing sector fell deeper into contraction, compounding fears of an economic slowdown across the euro area. U.S. stock index futures are lower this morning, along with European shares. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down about 14 points. Dow futures down 136. NASDAQ futures down 31. The DAX in Germany is down 0.5%. 10-year Treasury up 12.32. The yield 2.49%. The yield on the 2-year 2.37%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.9% or 55 cents to $59.43 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.4% or $5.40 to $13.19 an ounce. The euro $1.1305 and the yen at 110.50. And today we are watching for a report on wholesale inventories out at 10 o'clock Wall Street time, along with existing home sales. Tiffany among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, South Korea says North Korea has withdrawn its staff from an inter-Korean liaison office in North Korea. The development came after the second U.S.-North Korea summit talks in Vietnam last month collapsed due to disputes over U.S.-led sanctions on the country. President Donald Trump has abruptly declared the U.S. will recognize Israel's sovereignty over the disputed Golan Heights. It's a major shift in American policy that gives Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu a political boost a month before what is expected to be a close election. In sports, Thursday's round of 64 in the men's NCAA basketball tournament saw Seton Hall lose to Wofford 84-68. Last year's winner, Villanova, advanced. Today, the number one overall ranked team, Duke, faces North Dakota. In the NBA, the Warriors won, the Wizards lost. On the ice, the Devils lost to the Bruins 5-1. The Islanders lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's 5:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. Bloomberg Opinion editor Jennifer Ryan joins us from our London bureau, where we are looking to another Brexit deadline now, 2-week extension. Lionel Laurent writes Europe is preparing for the end of Theresa May. Why does he see this particular crunch point for Brexit as especially alarming?
Well, I mean, it's not as if Europe has in its recent past been short of crunch points in these last-ditch emergency summits. But this one is particularly worrying because the worst-case scenario, namely Britain crashing out of the EU without a deal, is really going to be an economically calamitous outcome that neither side can agree on how to avoid, and that's really the issue. So there's no obvious way of stopping the clock on the Article 50 departure process. I mean, you could cancel it, but then that would be a hugely divisive issue in the country. So Thursday's meeting of European leaders was really about agreeing a delay to the March 29th deadline that could also serve a way out of the impasse by bouncing the UK into action.
All right. So how did that meeting turn out?
Well, it's part can-kicking exercise, which you're not going to be really overly surprised to hear. And it's also part insurance policy against more unpredictability from Britain. So EU leaders have offered a two-month technical delay if May gets her deal over the line after a third attempt, and a two-week one if she fails. And at that point, Britain's going to have to either decide whether to head into the hills without an agreement or request a much longer extension to the Article 50 process. But here's Laurent's really blunt interpretation of where we are. The first delay is for May. The second delay is going to be to whoever almost inevitably replaces her as prime minister. And given that French President Emmanuel Macron has given her deal a 5% chance of passing through the UK Parliament, you can kind of see where this is headed.
So where does he think this leaves Theresa May?
So even if May is defeated and subsequently goes, and, you know, you can't actually really even bet on that, given she's got this kind of maniacal sense of party loyalty, it's really optimistic to believe this is going to really fix everything because both major parties are incredibly divided on the issue, on top of which their leaders have shown no appetite for solving the debacle. I mean, if May goes, it's entirely possible she gets replaced by a hard Brexiter like Boris Johnson. And where does this leave Europe? The longer Brexit drags on, the more what some describe as the gangrene of the UK will infect its inner workings.
Wow. Well, let's move on now to Brian Chipata's piece on the bond market. He says that it's reached a Fed end in the US. What is he talking about?
Okay, so look, yes, the Fed left open the possibility for another interest rate increase next year or in 2021 after its meeting on Wednesday. Yes, policymakers could put a hike back in play for later this year if the economic outlook brightens. But think about Jerome Powell's message. He went out of his way to emphasize that monetary policy is in a good place and the next move in rates could be in either direction. So, you know, as some people say, that history suggests it's going to be a cut no matter what Powell says.
So how does Chipata read the market reaction?
Well, it's kind of predictable that investors kind of everyone bought everything in the wake of this Fed dovish surprise. But what Chipata's take is that it's going to be a mistake to believe that the market's rationally priced in the next 4 to 6 months. And the market's kind of just guessing. So you can see some yield curves reaching the flattest since 2007, while others became the steepest in 15 months.
So what's the best path he thinks investors should take then?
It's a tough call because, in no small part, the Fed's lost a lot of its credibility with its rapid shift over the past 3 months. I mean, Chipata floats a bunch of different possibilities. You could buy short-term bills, you could buy intermediate notes, but it's really difficult when you've got, you know, sort of the Fed trying to shift subtly what neutral means and noting that the bank's overarching goal is to sustain the economic expansion. So Chipata says that for now, the answer might be just walking between the various paths. He notes that the yield pickup for buying a 2-year treasury and a 10-year note while selling 2 5-year notes is the highest since 2013. And that kind of seems like a decent way to express the outlook that from here has become anyone's guess, including officials on the Federal Reserve.
And just taking a look at the 10-year right now, we are below a 2.5 handle at 2.49% this morning. Bloomberg opinion editor Jennifer Ryan, thanks as always. You can read more of these and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion on the Bloomberg Terminal. Customers type OPIN Go on the search bar. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is coming up to 5:54 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
The House Oversight Committee wants a wide range of documents related to Purdue Pharma and owners, the Sackler family, as it probes whether the company sought to drive up the cost of addictive painkillers. California wildfire victims want to be paid first and are seeking to block some payments energy giant PG&E proposes to make in its bankruptcy case. The company has asked to pay incentives to some employees. And under a new state law that eliminates age limits, health insurers will have to improve coverage for Virginians with autism. Existing law required coverage only between 2 and 10 years of age.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Steve, thank you. Now in other legal news, we're watching this week. The trial over claims that Bayer's Roundup weed killer causes cancer is now moving to a second phase to determine the company's liability and damages. For more on this story, Bloomberg's Dune Grosso speaks to University of Michigan law professor Eric Gordon.
Bayer convinced the judge to try the case in two separate phases so that jurors first would decide whether Roundup was a substantial factor in the plaintiff's cancer. Before the jury got to hear about alleged wrongdoing by the company, the alleged wrongdoing being in failing to warn people about cancer risks and maybe hiding evidence. So this was Bayer's new card in their defense strategy.
So will this second phase be a steeper climb for the defense as jurors will hear some damaging evidence that Monsanto ghostwrote scientific literature to ensure that Roundup was not classified as carcinogenic?
Yeah, now the jury is going to get to hear the emotionally flammable evidence, the evidence that, if believed, makes Bayer look like really bad people. The exact evidence, it was that nature of the evidence that made Bayer want it not to be in the first phase, so they got kind of a clean decision about whether it caused cancer. So it only gets worse for Bayer.
The company insists that the active ingredient in the herbicide does not cause cancer. Bayer's share price has dropped since its acquisition of Monsanto in June. Will it continue to face these lawsuits until it changes the ingredients in Roundup?
Yeah, and maybe even after then, because the lawsuits are about people who say they were hurt by the old ingredients. And, June, what's going on here is there's sort of two levels of reality. There's some level of scientific reality. Bayer says there are many, 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 many studies, including studies it had nothing to do with, that say it doesn't cause cancer. The EPA didn't require a warning. European people didn't require a warning. That's one level. But there's another level. And the other level is what jurors will believe. And what jurors will believe is what turns into judgments and financial liabilities and the risk to the stock price.
That's University of Michigan law professor Eric Gordon speaking with Bloomberg's Dune Grosso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. S&P futures lower, down 12 points this morning. Dow futures down 121 and NASDAQ futures down 25. 10-year Treasury up 11/32nds, yield 2.49%, and the yield on the 2-year 2.37%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.7% or 44 cents to $59.55 a barrel. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.